Actually, a really interesting thing came up for me while listening to Ruth. It's something that I've been pretty deeply meditating on for some time now. It's the question, what is reality? Just go straight for the big ones. I have a reality, you have a reality, that person has a reality. There's all these different realities. And then there's the reality. Can an illusion be a reality? You guys think, yeah? I think so, because we're doing it all the time. A reality, I guess, is the experience that you're having about what's real, which includes beliefs, assumptions, paradigms, and programming. You know, I have my reality, but how many other realities have I picked up along the way through life that are now composing my reality? Oh, I like this part. Okay, I'll believe that. Oh, that's a really great way of doing things. I never thought about it. I'm going to make that my reality. Didn't even know that was possible. And then I have this experience that I create based off of my ideas of what's real. And somebody else has some other ideas of what's real. And maybe our ideas don't meet in the middle. I guess the point of this is that reality is what we make of it, anything's possible, and yet we have this thing called a psychic break that we're talking about that could also be defined as like maybe the fall in consciousness, a state of separation, a state of disconnection, maybe living out of an illusion as if it's a reality. Because if we know from all the high sciences and all the high spirituality and high teachings, everything is connected. It's just one whole unit with all these different multiple perspectives of experience. To think that my little separated perspective is what's real, especially if I look back and see that it's constantly shifting and changing and forming as I learn and grow and expand. Oh, what is reality? I didn't really mean to go here. Didn't talk about this before. And so we have this thing called a subconscious mind, right? And inside of this is this what I like to call mass subconscious of humanity. Like there's a mass consciousness of humanity that we all are part of. It's the big soup, fruit salad, that we're all swimming in. Not like a fruit soup, although that could be tasty too. And it's just there. It's there. It's part of all of our experience. We took it on when at whatever point we decided to or just woke up and realized, wow, I'm a human. You take on what's in there, that collective that we all share. And somewhere inside of there is like a psychic break. It's also everything that's went before us through the evolutionary process. And then we have our conscious mind, which is like the intelligence, intellect, the ability to reason and figure things out. And then we have like a higher sort of spiritual mind almost, what I'm calling it. It's so many different names, I'm sure. But it's this constant, ever-present flow of all the good stuff, baby. Insight, inspiration, imagination, love, compassion. This is the quantum field, and it's always there, and it's always available to us. The thing is that most of the time, I think, and this is a teaching, so I'm not alone, I think that we're just mostly running around between the subconscious and the conscious mind, recycling stuff from the past, recycling stuff from old realities that we've picked up along the way and bought into from other people and the world at large around us. And we're just like recycling those that consciousness. And so we call that thinking. Well, it's certainly one type of thinking. There's more than one way to think. Because on the other hand, we have this ever-present flow of divine knowing, almost call it, that is available to interact with the conscious mind also and turn the machinery of the mind in a different way, which produces a new reality. Because you've created the reality that you're living in. We've all got different ideas of what reality is, and there will always be someone who's trying to sell you their reality and invite you into their reality of what's real for them. And hence, we're always inviting people into our reality as well. Maybe that's a nice invitation. Maybe not. Maybe you're inviting someone to be angry. Maybe you're inviting someone to be peaceful. Doesn't matter. The point is, we can choose. I can choose whether I want to engage in your reality in way of seeing the world and experiencing it, or if I want to engage in this one, or if I don't want to do any and say, no, I'm going to live right here in my reality because this is what's working for me right now. Or just pick a little bit from there and a little bit from here and create a new one. What is this constant, ever-flowing source that's available to us? I believe that's love. Simple. That is love. That is the pure source essence of creation. And it refracts in so many different ways. Like, there's so many different expressions of love. We were talking about how some other languages don't even have a word for love. They have a word for compassion, appreciation, affection, attraction. And somehow we seem to like use love as this kind of intermediary word that we can just like put anywhere to make it mean all kinds of things. Right? Like if I say I love you, I could be saying that I appreciate you as a friend. I could be saying, I am romantically attracted to you. I could be saying, I recognize the divinity that exists in you. Might not like some of the other things that are showing up, but I recognize that and I love you. I could be saying, my heart just swells when I'm in your presence. And I am so excited to just be in the vibration that is the glory of who you are. I love you. You know? Now, no one of those types of love is greater or lesser than the other. They're just different expressions. For different types of relationships, different dynamics. And when we start to filter out that love a little less and less and less and less and travel further down this scale, then it shows up as something different than maybe appreciation and compassion. Maybe it shows up more as like malice and judgment or something else. But it's still on the same scale. It's just love showing up and expressing fully or less, 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 almost not at all. And I think that scale is life. That's life. That's life. It's showing up everywhere, all throughout creation. It's just this scale of love. And that's how you can say love is God, love is one, love is all there is. It's because it's all love expressing through unique qualities, flavors, and to different varying degrees of brightness. What's that called? Exposure? Like on a camera or something? We open up the brightness, shut it down. Yeah. So how well is our expression with each other allowing the exposure of love? Are you exposing the love that's already present in each particular unique dynamic with everyone in your world? And are we allowing ourselves to be exposed to that flow of love, the constant presence of spirit that can do the work to change reality? Since it's malleable, we each got a different one. There is an absolute reality that exists, and then there's relative reality. We all have our own relative reality. And when we allow, open, choose, and point towards to allow the absolute reality to infuse our relative reality, well, now we're living the mission that Christ came to live. We're being the example and the change of what's possible for a new humanity. And we're changing reality from the inside out. So, thank you.